Grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for his mercies. A few announcements as we get started here. First of all, special thanks to the Pitts for all the work they did of decorating for Advent season and reminding us of Jesus coming and coming again. Special thanks to Susie for all the work, encouragement, recruiting, and coordinating she did with the shoeboxes this past year. Again, we had over 150 that she knew of and probably a lot more than that. No Pathfinders tonight, but they're back on next Sunday. And then Marcia Sears, who was a member here years ago and was a resident at Maryvale, passed away this week. Please remember her family and their grief. And then Becky Ingram is in failing health, not responding anymore, needing dialysis and such. So just be in prayer for Benny and for the family as they continue to entrust her into the Lord's hands, and would that the Lord would help them just to remember the sure hope we have of a resurrection body coming with Jesus sometime soon. Reminder to all of us, indeed, to keep our eyes on the Lord and to find our hope there, not in what we can or can't do here. We are here this morning to worship, to come into the Lord's presence together. Let's prepare our hearts for doing just that. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let us stand and sing for joy. Hymn number 195 is printed in your bulletin, Joy to the World. Let's stand as we sing.
To the earth, the Savior reigns. is far, far as the curse is far, far as far.
Pray. Oh Lord, how thankful we are for the joy you give us in this great salvation Jesus has accomplished for us and in us and is giving to others through us. Oh Lord, show us more of your glory. Show us how great this salvation is. Fill us with your joy even now. Remind us that our joy is that you take joy in us as your children because of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our confession of sin this morning is in the context of being reminded of the fourth commandment, the call, the command to enter into rest, to set aside a day, to give thanks, to celebrate, to rejoice in God's great work in, among, and through us. Let's read responsibly. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
O Lord, from the beginning of creation, you called us to work and labor for your glory on the earth. Yet we have twisted that mandate from being about your glory to our own desire for wealth, reputation, possession, and identity. Our desire for a personal empire has caused us to whore ourselves to perfection and therefore become either slaves to work or, when defeated, slaves to laziness. Because of our selfishness, we fail to know true rest, and we refuse to believe this commandment is a gift and a foreshadowing of an eternal Sabbath with you. Jesus, as the Lord of the Sabbath, grant us the grace to sit at your feet in worship and obedience, that we might continue to serve you as your ambassadors to the world.
We thank you, Lord, for this, your gift of rest, for our time to see the ways you have provided and have blessed and have led. We're even more thankful that we can look and see how you have forgiven for when we fail to do that. Lord, would you grow us in your grace that more and more we would call your day a delight. Would you so bless us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hear what the Lord your God has said, the Holy One of Israel. It's in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Amen. Our Advent reading today, as we begin this season of remembering that not only has Christ come, but much more so, he's coming again soon, is from Revelation chapter 5, and it sets before us our great hope in this work Christ has done. Again, let's read responsively. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open a scroll and break its seal?"
And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it.
And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open a scroll or look into it. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. He can open the scroll and its seven seals."
And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth.
He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on a throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our King, and they shall reign on the earth."
And the Lord bless this reading of his holy and precious word to our hearts and our minds. Let's continue our worship coming before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thing it is to ponder that there are no one worthy to come and to take the scroll, no one able to accomplish the work that you required be done until you provided the only one who is able, the only one who is worthy, your Son, the Lamb of God who came to cover our sins, who has redeemed us and brought us back to yourself. Oh Lord, help us to see his worthiness. Help us to see that paradox that he is the Lamb looking as if it had been slain, and yet is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh Lord, your ways are so much higher than our ways. Grow our understanding. Fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen our faith. Give us that sure hope that Jesus is with us, strong to save, that you are good, that you have given us your only begotten Son, and along with him your Spirit, that we might have a sure hope. Lord, even as we wrestle with the news of many who are afflicted and are dying around us every day, grow our hope and help us, Lord, to be faithful ambassadors of that hope, encouraging and blessing, being faithful to pray because Jesus has conquered sin and conquered death. And Lord, we pray for those who are in great need right now. We just continue to lift up Becky and Benny. Lord, give him grace to trust in you, even as he's cut off from being able to care for her. Lord, as she is in need of healing, just remind him of that promise that you one day soon will remove every tear, that you, Lord, will remove all misery, that you will overcome all wrong and make us right again. Lord, would you help each one of us to learn to heed that lesson? We pray, Lord, for Steve McWilliams as he's struggling with possible kidney stones and much pain. Would you strengthen and heal there? We pray for Norris's family, for his brother-in-law who's battling cancer and is in rough shape as he goes through this treatment. We pray for his nephew as well in the same family, Lord, who had this biking accident yesterday. Would you, Lord, show mercy? We thank you, Lord, that he was able to move his arms and hands. Would you just bring healing through the surgeon's care? this day, and would you provide for that family? Lord, we pray for Sam and Elwin's grandchildren, Ben and Kelly, as they continue to move forward with this adoption. Would you just provide and give them favor and bless them and prepare them for being parents to these three siblings? Lord, we continue to ask for your favor for the Ables and for the insurance company to release everything that needs to be done and for it to be done well and done quickly. We ask for your continuing sustenance to the Moores, for EA and her knee pain, for Anne's continuing recovery. We give thanks, Lord, for the ways you have blessed there already. Would you continue to do so and all the more? And for the many other, Lord, who are dealing with the fallout from this virus, the fallout of the unrest in our nation, Lord, would you have mercy? And would you help your church to keep its eyes on you? And would you help us to be faithful, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you, and to call others to do the same, trusting you to be at work in us and through us for your glory? Lord, would you work, and would you help us to see and to be filled with thanksgiving for all things all the time in the fear of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's continue to worship with some special music.
Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his paths. Who knows the mind of our God? Who could bring counsel to him? Who is given to God that God should repay? For from him, through him, to him is everything. To God be the glory forever and ever. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Oh, the depths of the riches, the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his paths. Who knows the mind of our God? Who could bring counsel to him? Who is given to God that God should repay? God be the glory forever and ever. To God be the glory forever, amen. To God be the glory forever and ever. To God be the glory forever, amen. For from him, through him, to him is everything. Glory forever and ever. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory forever and ever. Forever and ever. Forever and ever.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is first from Genesis 1:1 and then chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1:1 is simply, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we give thanks for your great work. Help us to see it and help us to delight in it by imitating it. Oh Lord, open your word and apply it to our hearts and our minds. Help us to trust you and to follow in your pathways for your glory, so that we might be your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a divided nation, and it's divided about a lot of things, but today, particularly, I want to focus on the idea of work and rest and play. And that idea of work is another thing that divides us greatly. In a nation where many are workaholics, the most popular bumper sticker theology yet remains, I owe, so it's off to work I go. Or along with it, work fascinates me. I can sit and watch others do it for hours. Hard work may not kill me, but why take a chance? Disconnected from wisdom, our society vacillates between making work everything or something to be avoided at all costs. And along with it, it's twisted our view of rest and play. We need to be confronted as the church by the biblical perspective once again. And our society desperately needs to see Christians working and resting and playing in the way that God prescribes for us in his word. And we understand that best, again, by beginning with God himself. God's work is a delight. Remember, for God, there's no frustration, no opposition to anything he does. He simply says, let there be, and it is so. That work includes creating from nothing, separating, forming, expanding, preserving, providing, guiding, governing, all showing forth his glory and blessing mankind. God creates time and space and fills them up. A universe full of incredible beauty, of perfect order, of wonderful intricacy, of interdependence. Which the more and more we see should fill us with wonder and adoration and awe. And God doesn't stop there. He continues to work. Colossians 1, speaking of God the Son, all things are held together by him. He sustains all things. Romans 8, God is at work in all things for our good. Job 38 through 42, God is there to humble Job. And he does it with questions about his work of creation and of providence. To which Job replies, I thought I knew something, but I'm going to shut up now. God humbles him, but doesn't leave him, but he lifts him up. As he shows him again, that work was for Job and for all mankind. In Isaiah 40, God again reminds his people of his work and his providence. But there he does it to give them comfort and hope. The book of Revelation makes clear that creation and providence are things that we will celebrate and marvel at for all eternity. But the God who works also rests. That's what we read here in Genesis 2. Now, for us, most of us, the image of rest means a couch, peace, quiet, ease, nothing needing to be done. But that image doesn't go far enough. We settle for too little. Moses and the original audience would have understood that this is a picture of God having finished his work, established his rule, and now ascending to the throne to enjoy his creation with his creatures. He is present with them, and they are present with him. Sabbath is not a withdrawal from the world and its operations, but his taking his place at the helm on the throne. In fact, we need to see this. The garden is the most holy place. It's where God and man dwell together, where he meets with them, and they fellowship with him. Again, every time I read this, I have this picture of the Heavenly Father taking two little children on a stroll through the garden. And they're saying, what's that? And God would explain not only what it was, but how it worked with everything else. And they would just respond with, wow, aren't you good? Again and again and again. God with his people and his people enjoying him. And it was like those home makeover shows that everybody loves so much. At some point, the work is done. The cameras are shut off. But that's when the real blessing begins. As a family moves into that house and makes it a home, that's what's going on the seventh day. God and his family enjoying their new home. Supposedly forever. God continues to set one day aside as seven as a day to draw near, to enjoy, to celebrate. But it's not just that one day. God models that this is a daily activity. Remember, each of the 6 days before this, God creates, and then he evaluates, and then he enjoys. It is good. That's the biblical definition of rest. Not doing nothing, but enjoying what God has done and is doing, and celebrating and proclaiming it. All of this is about a call to recognize the rhythm God has built into this creation of work and rest. Rest being understood again as a time to enter into what has been done and to enjoy. Imagine being a vineyard owner and working hard so that there might be grapes and then harvesting those grapes and then turning them into wine, but never drinking it. That's the foolishness of not observing Sabbath, not entering to God's rest. God invites us. God sets aside a day. He makes it holy and invites all of his creation to join with him. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. The command of the king. This call to rest is included in the Ten Commandments. And at its heart, it's a reminder that God rules and God provides and God blesses. It's about regaining and growing a healthy, eternal, God-centered perspective. It was to be an important part of their witness to the nations. Our God reigns and provides in such a way that we don't need to work 7 days a week. We can enjoy him. And it pointed ahead to an ultimate rest that would later be added onto with the ideas of the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee. Intertwined with God's work and God's rest is the idea of play. Look at God's creation. I haven't been there recently, but I can literally go spend a day at the aquarium. I could sit and watch the otters play for hours. They are really good at it. But then I would miss out on the jellyfish and that incredible movement of how they get through the water. And then there's my favorite, that little itty-bitty tiny seahorse that somehow or another stays upright and moves through the water. That's just a small portion. Think about the hippo or the duck-billed platypus and so many other parts of God's creation. Job 38 reminds us that as God is creating, the angels are singing, celebrating, partying. Proverbs 8, wisdom personified there is a daily delight rejoicing with God's people. Psalm 104 talks about God made the oceans so that Leviathan, the whale, could play in them. Job 40 says the mountains are where the wild beasts play. Jesus often displayed playfulness and humor, especially in his exaggeration, to make a point. There is present in him a non-seriousness, a letting go of formality and inhibition, of spontaneity that just enjoyed people. All the more poignant because he was humbled and carried the grief for those people at the same time. Remember, the heart of the biblical idea of rest is to enjoy and celebrate. And so we can't talk about play unless we also talk about beauty. Creation is full of beauty, of delight, of refreshment. But beauty is not something to be used, simply something to be enjoyed. Think of all the forms and colors and textures and so much more that are in God's creation. Beauty is something that is there to bless us. draw us up into the very nature of who God is. Psalm 119 encourages God's people to see the beauty in creation and celebrate it. Psalm 27, David dares to ask, Lord, let me behold your beauty. Psalm 96 is a reminder that God's sanctuary is full of beauty and strength. The tabernacle was designed as a place of glory and of beauty. Jesus again said he didn't just come to give life, but to give life extravagantly, abundantly, wonderfully. Before sin enters the world, this idea of work and rest and play are not separated, but they're one thing. Man made in God's image is created to enjoy and take pleasure in God's work and God's rest and God's playfulness. That as he worked, there was an element of rest and enjoyment and of playfulness to it. And vice versa, all back and forth between the three. We get a taste of that. Played golf and I hit one perfect shot. I can't wait to go back. Maybe next week I'll hit two perfect shots. That's just but a taste of the goodness of God. Rest is about enjoying and giving thanks for all things, all of God's blessings. Play is about recognizing God is good and loves to bless and finding joy in that. Like God, our work and our rest and our play are satisfying and fulfilling, but only as we glorify Him and bless one another. Only as we abide and are directed by Him in it. And therein lies the problem. We did not abide. Adam and Eve rebelled against God's work and God's rest and God's play. And as such, all those things became twisted. God gave a consequence for that rebellion. Frustration in our work and in our relationships, where chaos is now constantly threatening to overwhelm. But not in a way that those things are the end of it, but only so that we might cry out and be restored by God. Work was frustrated with obstacles and opposition and hardship. Not easy to overcome. Relationships frustrated, so instead of helping, we hinder and distract and complain and annoy. West is frustrated as we no longer have the ability to wonder, to enjoy, to celebrate. Play is frustrated by becoming a competition where we seek to crush others instead of bringing out the best in them. Made for eternity, time itself becomes the enemy. We're always in a hurry for more work or more rest or more play. Where we procrastinate and put off. Where we're never satisfied because we're disconnected from God. Disconnected from God, we turn work into only about acquiring stuff, as if the one with the most stuff wins while it's falling apart while we get it. One of the stories today was about the man who founded two companies. He sold the first one for a piddling $250 million. And then he started a second one, which he sold for $1.2 billion. Only to die at age 46 in a house fire. Without God, it will not satisfy. Fallenness is not just things going wrong, but a confusion about the right goals for our work and our rest and play. And because we don't have those right goals, all that we're left with is misery and ultimately death. But God's work has not ended. And He provides one who overcomes misery, who destroys the power and punishment of sin by accomplishing our work for us, by inviting us into His rest and His play. It's appropriate as we begin Advent today that Matthew, with his story of Jesus, begins with a genealogy. And I know most of us, we look at that genealogy and we skip ahead to the next thing. But we sort of miss the point of it all. Because Matthew's genealogy is written with three groups of 14 generations. For you math majors out there, another way of saying that is six groups of seven. And part of what Matthew is doing is showing his Jewish audience that the promise given to Daniel long ago about the 70 weeks of sevens is now being fulfilled in their lifetime. That Jesus is the promised one who would restore work, rest, and play. Mark points this out as well, starting his gospel with Jesus' claim, the time is fulfilled. And he shows through the rest of his gospel the work and the rest and the play that is at the heart of that ministry as Jesus restores the sick, heals the blind, gives food to the hungry, and ushers in the kingdom. We worship on Sunday because of that finished work of Jesus, the one who restores us, the one who did our work for us, the one who is our rest, and one who sets us free to play. We worship on Sunday to be reminded of and to grow in our understanding that resurrection and new creation has already taken place. That we, because of that work, are free to draw near to God once again as our Creator, as our Redeemer, free to listen and be directed in our work, in our rest, and our play, so that we are free once again to glorify Him and bless one another. Finding fullness in Jesus is why we can call the Lord's Day a delight, Isaiah 58. Because the delight is found in receiving and resting in Jesus' finished work. The work He has done, the work He is doing, and the work He soon will accomplish. It's about trusting God to provide abundantly. Again, set aside, shown in setting aside our work, our consuming of things, our need to conquer. As an author put it, the Lord's Day is a day of not doing, so we can take notice of what has been done and celebrate and proclaim to all who would see and hear. The Lord's Day is about trust. We observe the day best when we set aside time to enter into worship, to enter into God's presence. Again, we don't just worship here in this building. Because of Jesus' finished work, right now we are seated before the very throne of God. And He delights for us to be with Him. We do that by the power of the Spirit, directed by the Word. And as we do so, we are invited back into the rhythms of how God created this world. And we are able to be, again, once again, set free to bear fruit of having a right view, a right way to live out our work and our rest and our play. That's all possible because God has loved us. Because Jesus has worked to give you this great salvation, which at its heart is rest because He's done all the work and sets us free to rejoice, to play. The Father has loved you in the Son by the power of the Spirit so that you are free once again to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, to love your neighbors as yourself, which is the heart of what our work and our rest and our play are to be about. I don't work for what I can get or what I want, but work and rest and play is, Lord, how can I love You and how can I love others? When it's about what I want, I'm frustrated. What I plan and what actually happens in a day rarely have anything to do with one another. But when I start the day, Lord, what would You have me be? What would You have me do? There's always a joy and a freedom and a fullness. That's the love of God in Christ, restoring us to work and rest and play. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord, even now, help us to recognize the restoration, the work that has been, is, and will be done on our behalf. Help us to enter into that rest, a true rest, where we see all that You have done and celebrate it and have freedom to play and rejoice, because you are our God and we're your people. Oh, bless us. Grow our faith, grow our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us celebrate that work of God and the gift of his Son with hymn number 211. Let's stand as we sing, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Let's stand.
Rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds were tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not then, said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bride, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherds at the
Please be seated. Here set before us is a picture of God's gift to us of his work and rest and play. Here we're reminded of that work of Jesus, his body given for you, his blood shed, so that all of your sins have been atoned for. Here Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us, and we keep the feast. Here is our true rest. We celebrate this on the Lord's Day in the context of his resurrection and ours, because he has united himself fully and freely with us. That as we partake of this bread and drink of this cup, as we proclaim his death, we are being restored as his new creation to work and to rest and to play, not just now, but for all eternity. Won't you come and receive what he has for you? If you yet think you can earn that through your own work, or if you think there's no work to be done, I would warn you not to partake of this meal. This feast is only for those who by faith receive it. To take it without faith is to ask for God's judgment. And that judgment is much closer than you realize. But God's mercy is also much closer than you realize. Won't you come and receive all that he has for you? Let's pray. Oh Lord, fill us by your Spirit. Help us to see the fullness of what Jesus has done, what he is doing, what he yet will do for us. And give us that freedom to work as unto you, to rest and to enjoy and to celebrate and to be free to play for your glory as your ambassadors. Strengthen and equip us in Jesus' name. Amen. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and the cup and gave it to his disciples as I, ministering in his name, give to you. Just a reminder to be sure to grab both cups. as they come by. Take and eat. This is his body given for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant in his blood, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Drink from it, all of you. Let us pray. Lord, how thankful we are for these, your good and precious gifts. As we have received, so help us to share, to be your blessing, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's conclude our worship with a benediction as printed in your bulletin. Let's stand as we sing. Just a reminder for those who would like to serve at the packing center, or processing center with Samaritan's Purse, the sign up is on the table in the hallway here. Lift your hands, receive the Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours now and forever. Amen.